first of all want to acknowledge Mother's Day. And how God takes care of us when we can't take care of ourselves. And when the Lord begins to transition us from how we think not only about ourselves but about others, it's quite a crash program in the mind. Because when we're growing up, we're thinking about how mothers and fathers are a pain, because all they are is strict rules and regulations, irritation, stopping us from having fun. Anybody relate? How many remember those days? Thank you. Stopping me from having a good time or fun. How dare you? Then later on, when you become a mother and a father yourself, depending on your gender, the Lord begins to give you a different view, a different perspective. And I can remember when my two sons were growing, in demands of me. How many of you know parents get demanded on? And they were starting to make demands on my time, and that started quite early, but for them to be aware that they were demanding of me, it changed my perspective of my dad. And it changed my perspective of my mom. Later on, when I became a grandfather, that was another challenge. And then, of course, last year, most of you know, we had a great-granddaughter. And that readjusted my perspective again. It's just one more level. My mom is 91, and you already heard she's probably the largest miracle for me to witness going from death to life. My dad was the other. Because we don't see ourselves. We don't see what we really do, how we're being used by God as that broken bread. We don't see it. We don't recognize it. We are unaware. And most of the reasoning behind that is because we're usually listening to the accuser. Anybody can relate? The accuser is like sitting on your shoulder, punching holes as many times that he can, so that you'll believe any lie about who you are in Christ and who you will ever be in Christ. And this morning, the Lord was reminding me about how my mother was transformed, but her transformation changed me. Her transitioning began to affect how I acted and reacted. And I can remember saying to the Lord, I want more. How many of you ever cried that prayer? I want more. Well, when you get more of Jesus, you also get more what? Yeah, the enemy is going to accuse you. A little stronger, a little longer, a little deeper. And he's going to try to convince you that you'll never be what you've been called to be. And it's just part of the way it works. So, needless to say, the Holy Spirit has this ability to awaken in us what his plan is for us. But we don't always listen the first time around. At least I didn't. And if you had that victory and were able to do it, that's great. But as for me, I couldn't do it. I didn't do it. I didn't accomplish it. I wanted to, but I didn't. I want to take you with me to 2 Peter this morning. Chapter 1. I'm using the NIV. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, a called out one. He says, grace in verse 2, and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Grace and peace be yours in abundance. Back to verse 1, it says, to those who through the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ have received a faith as precious as ours. How did they get that faith as precious as Peter's? How did it happen? Through the righteousness of our God. Did they believe that they were hopeless, useless people? Or did they get transformation in their mind? Did they start thinking about themselves as righteous and holy before God? Or did they believe that they were useless sinners? I used to think I was a sinner, saved by grace. Later on, I realized that I was righteous in God's standing. And that was hard for me to accept. I just couldn't buy it. Yet it was God's opinion. In verse 3 he says, his divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you might participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. Those are awesome promises. When I began to see that I would become an effective tool to change others, I had a hard time believing that was possible. I had a problem with my brain. That which is sitting on top of your shoulders can cause you to go to life or death. Verse 5. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to the goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. Do you see the multiplication? Make every effort to add. What is the reason for the additions? So that you won't stay like you were. So you'll begin to see yourself as Jesus sees you. As he has already paid the price for you to come up higher. You won't be down in the dumps about who you are and what you're called to do and what you're called to be. Amen? Verse 8, and for if you possess these qualities in increasing measures, notice increasing measures, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord and Jesus Christ, of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if anyone does not have them, he is nearsighted and blind and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. Have you forgotten that you were cleansed from your past sins? Have you forgotten? How many have ever listened to the accuser telling you that you're a hopeless case? And believe it. Have you forgotten? Have I forgotten? Peter is reminding himself and he's reminding the church. Verse 10. Therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fall. If you do them, you won't fall. And you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This past week, I got a telephone call from a gentleman that I met very briefly in my life. And he had married one of my friend's widow. Larry King came into my life many years ago. And his wife, Darlene, was delivered out of a sin-conscious battle to a righteousness in Christ that transformed her life. The first time I met Darlene, Larry brought her to church and says, this is the miracle that God has provided. Darlene had been in Framingham State Prison. Larry was in Connecticut State Prison. Jesus went into his cell. And later on, Larry wrote a book, Broken Chains. Got a copy of that book. And you're right on time. You're right on time. This is Tiffany, Larry's daughter.
Come on, Tracy. You need prayers. Come on, Tim. You're right on time. Father God, we just ask for grace for these two right now. This is the day that you have given them an ability to come to you. In the mighty name of Jesus, I'm believing that you and you alone know how to heal and set them free from all the guilt, all the accusations that would try to bring them down. Lord Jesus, we're just very grateful that right now we are surrounded by a cloud of witnesses, and I know that Larry and Darlene are here. I know that Justin is here. I know that your Holy Spirit is here. I know that you have an ability to heal this family, Lord, because you sent them both together. You brought them together, and they will be family, and they will be in obedience to your Spirit today. In Jesus' name, we pray.
Love you,
Lord. Love you, Tim.
I don't know if I could have timed that any better, huh? You think God's on time?
Yes.
I even got to meet Michael yesterday. That's Tiffany's little boy. He is probably the precious, most little, beautiful, handsome boy that I've seen in a long, long time. And I tried to approach him, and of course, he only connected with me on the telephone. I think a couple of times, and telephone conversations are kind of strange, but anyway, he was in the hallway and he kind of escaped because he was busy looking around the hospital. Tim and I were trying to communicate along with Tiffany's aunt. And to make a long story short, I did get a high five from him the first time, you know, so I got five fingers to touch. Then he wants to walk down the hallway, and that's when the opportunity came for a hug. You see, God was teaching even in the midst of that little boy. The transformation takes place as we learn to trust. We learn to trust in God. We learn to trust in the body of Christ. We learn to listen to what St. Peter had to say in his letter to the disciples. You see, as they learned to grow and mature, they added, multiplied unto the anointing of Christ Jesus, more and more to their faith, more and more of their own abilities to believe in themselves for what God could do through them that they could not do for themselves. How many know sometimes you have a commission to do something and you know you can't? How many have ever cried out, Jesus, I need you, because if I try to do this on my own, I know I can't do it. Put your hand up right now, because if you have this disability, you need to know that others have that same struggle. Thank you. That struggle is so that we can come up a little higher and we can begin to trust each other, that God will use my strength, the little bit that I have, to enhance your strength. Or maybe my ability to take care of your disability. My sustenance that I've learned over the years is Christ Jesus. My ability to go forward is His ability inside of me. And I can tap into that if I trust Him. But if I'm listening to the accuser that I'm useless and hopeless, what's going to happen? What happens when I'm listening to the accuser telling me I'm hopeless and useless? That's what you become. So you put your faith in fear. Yeah. You put your faith in what you cannot do. You've got faith, all right. But it's in reverse order. Peter was telling them, if you put your faith in the righteousness that Christ has already gained for you, and if you put your faith in the reality that He already wiped away your sin. Remember, verse 9, but if anyone does not have them, he is nearsighted and blind, and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from all his past sins. Yeah. He has forgotten. Do you forget that you were cleansed from all your past sins? When I anointed Darlene on Thursday, her and I discussed very briefly, because there was a lot of medication, what Jesus already did. And I said to her, do you realize and hear and understand where I'm coming from? Do you realize, do you understand what I just said to you? And if you understand, I want you to wink twice. And immediately she winked her eyes twice, because the medication wasn't allowing communication. Because every time she tried to speak, she would start coughing and she couldn't communicate with her mouth. But she could communicate with her eyes. Now, the very first time I laid eyes on my wife, I was 16 years old. There was eye contact. And I knew that she was different than the other girls in the room. There was a season when I would lay eyes and catch my mother's eyes when she was full of alcohol and drugs. And guess what? I could see death in her. And I didn't want to look into her eyes at that time. When she got delivered and Jesus washed away her sin, I could look into her eyes and see the light of Christ. I want you to close your eyes. Which vision do you have of yourself? Do you see yourself as washed in the blood of the Lamb and cleansed from all your sin? Or do you see yourself as a hopeless case waiting to explode into the death that is awaiting you? It's up to you which one you're going to focus on. It's up to you which one you're going to believe. Have you been made righteous by the blood of Jesus Christ? Yes. One person responded. Have you been made righteous in the blood of Jesus Christ?
Yes.
Look at your neighbor and say, have you been made righteous by the blood? The answer is
yes.
Will I be a new creation or am I a new creation?
Yes.
Am I? Yes, I am. Hallelujah. See, it's going to depend on your ability to choose. Are you a hopeless case waiting to fall apart? Were you a hopeless case waiting to fall apart?
Yeah.
You were. Okay, who imparted the righteousness to you? Yes, did he use people? Did he use people?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. One more level. Marianne was very efficient in sending something to me this week on the internet. I want to thank her. And as the Lord allowed, there's a major transformation that's happening in Florida. Well, there's a major transformation that's going on down there because of a young man that God would probably say, you know what? I'm going to show these that are so wise in their own eyes that I can use anybody I want. Todd Bentley is a Canadian young man that you would not conceive if you would choose to have someone minister to the body of Christ. He's got tattoos on both arms, body piercings, but he's ministering salvation and deliverance and healing because God has anointed him to transform that area. How many know Brian Simmons? Brian Simmons and his wife, I've known for 20-something years, went down to Lakeland and received an impartation and were told to bring it back up to the north. Well, wouldn't that be sweet? God would just send that anointing up north. How many would like to see that anointing in this room? It's already here. It's already here. You know why? Because God chose to release one individual that decided to obey the Lord to the next level. And she went and got a piece of that. Yeah, she happens to be one of our new deacons. She went down to Gateway last night, came back at 1 o'clock this morning, and is here to deliver what's going on in Lakeland and spread it unto you. Why am I saying that? Because you see, broken bread was broken out of Lakeland, given to Brian Simmons. And then I understand a little deeper, one of this young man's helpers, named James, was ministering last night in Sunderland, Connecticut. And Gail got a piece of that bread. And if you will come up, I'd like you to share what God did. I believe we need to hear.
The young man, I didn't catch his last name. He actually was all part of the whole situation with Lakeland, Florida, and the whole, I don't know if it's a revival or a birth pack, leading to a revival. And he was so excited, he just couldn't contain himself and was just going on and on and on about what was happening in Florida. The young man was just married on March 29th, and on his honeymoon, he gets a call from Todd Bentley, was the young man being used in Florida of God. And he said, you've got to come down here. He's not going to believe what's happening. And at first he ignored it. Finally, he went down and he said, never again will I be the same. So he was there to impart to us. And the first release that came was an impartation for healed marriages. Needless to say, almost all the church went down the front. And of course, there I am without my mate. So finally, my turn came, and I looked at him, and I said, obviously, I need healing. There's something not standing beside me. And the Lord graciously, through this man, it wasn't the same man, this was a different man, he was helpers, imparted the healing for marriages, which I have within me, and which I will gladly share with you. And when that release was done, went on for quite a long period of time. There was quite an anointing for that. And when that release was done, there was a healing that went through the whole place. People that needed healing were receiving healing. There was many testimonies that came out. And following that, he said, as I have received an impartation, I am going to give every single person in this room the impartation. Now, this, I don't know if anybody's been to Gateway, but it's quite a large, large center. And it was full. And, but no, did. Line them up one after another, and he just went down and just imparted. And the impartation just went right through the whole place. Thank you, Lord. Another impartation. And the word is, you take your impartation and you give it. You take it back to where you were and you give it out. That impartation you need. And I joyfully, gladly, give that impartation out to you. What God has in it for you? Bring on God. It's truly amazing, truly awesome. And for those that want the healing of the impartation of any healing in the marriage, the word that they gave was restoration, and I stood there and I said, God, I don't like that word. I want a brand new marriage. No, I don't want to resurrect the old. I want a brand new. And that was just what went in my heart. So it's time now to just release this out to each one of you. It's in me.
Are you ready?